Begin the current daf, Masechtas Nida, daf Lamed Hey. Begin 3 lines up from the bottom of the Amud, on daf Lamed Alam Beis, where the Gemara continues with another question from Rabbi Yosef, similar to the one we quoted right before that on the previous daf, which was related to the halacha of a Zav Katan, a minor Zav. What's the halacha regarding his first re'ir, his first emission of Ziva as a little boy? What's the halacha, that is that going to be mitami or not? And the reason why we introduced that was because it related to the previous Gemara's discussion, which was related to the halacha of our Mishnah of Dam Tarav Mitzaras, which is Machlik Besham Imbisil, which ultimately ended up coming down, according to the Ibai Seima, to the word Lazachar. How do we interpret the word Lazachar in the Pasing of Yukat Tezvav Lam and Gimel? And therefore, according to one interpretation, Lazachar, Besham is saying, is telling you that it's even for a minor is going to be a Zav too. Or a Basil and Zav from somewhere else, and therefore that came into the discussion regarding a Zav Katan. Now, similarly, as we had regarding the first emission of Ziva regarding a minor, so Boyer of Yosef, he asked a similar question regarding the first emission of Ziva, but not regarding a minor, but regarding a different context. Re'i Rishayna Shel Mitzayr, the first discharge of Ziva of a Mitzayr. Ma'u Shetetamei B'masa. What's the halacha? Will that discharge contaminate by masa, by someone carrying it, not necessarily touching, but through carrying it? Now, the reason why it's being asked specifically like that is because regarding a pure person, a regular person, not a mitzayra, there's no question, most definitely it's not going to contaminate with masa by being carried, because the halach of ziva in the first discharge is compared to the tum of keri, as we mentioned in previous daf, as of shechva zera. Now, keri does not contaminate with masa, as the Mishnah teaches in the first perek of Masechtas Kehilim. Now, moreover, the question was only asked regarding the first discharge, not the second discharge. Because the second discharge of a ziva, even by an adam tar, not a mitzayra, it does contaminate with masa. As the Gemara tells us later on, that the tum of zayv contaminates with masa. Where we know this from is from the pasuk of zayvei tameh, who in that pasuk is talking about by the second discharge, by re'ir shniya, because the pasuk counts the word 2 times. Now, a Zav that saw 2 discharges is considered a bona fide Zav for the laws of Tumah, just that it doesn't require carbon. Only after 3 discharges does it require carbon after its purification. So the whole question was asked regarding the first discharge, where, yeah, in a regular person, the halacha is it would only contaminate by being touched, not by carrying. The question is, what would the halacha be over here by a mitzayr? What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Do we say, makom ziva mayin hu? The place where the ziva discharge comes out of the male member, is that a spring? Do we say that that's going to be included, as we said in the previous daf, from lazachar, where we said from the word extra word lazachar comes to tell us, l'rabbis mitzari l'mayonaisav, that not only for a zav or a nido, whatever the pasuk was talking about, but the extra word lazachar in the cave, it comes to include also mitzari for his springs, where his mayonis, they contaminate with masa, as the Gemara says later on the Nun Heyim Beis, where the pasuk says, as we learn that from Zav, it says, if chayarek hazav betahar, which means to say, whatever's in the hand of the tar, what he's carrying, that's going to be contaminated from the spittle, from the mayan of the Zav, and we're including the mitzvah, has the same halacha, like the Zav, as the extra word in the pasuk Lazacha comes to tell us. So this ziva discharge, is this also one of the mayanas? Is this also like spittle and urine, that those things get pooled together and then they come out, and therefore matame? So therefore it will be like the mayanis of mitzayra, which any mayan, even though it's the first time coming out, contaminates with masa. Here too, the ziva discharge is considered mayan and will contaminate on the first time, simply because it's a mitzayra and it's mayanis, not because of ziva discharge. Like we said, a regular ziva, yeah, the first time won't contaminate with masa. But here he's a mitzayra and therefore will be matame. Idem alav mayanu. Or maybe it's not a spring, and therefore it's like any first discharge of any regular person, where it only contaminates with maga, with touch, and not with masa. So Maravi says, Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following braiso. The pasuk in Mayikra says, in Perek Tezvav Pasuk Beis, it says, speak to the Jewish people and tell them, every single man, if it's going to flow from his flesh, zayvai tamehu, that ziva, that liquid, that discharge, is going to be tameh. Now, it's referring to here in this pasuk to the second discharge, because the pasuk counted 2 times. It said, Zav mebesare, Zoy veitame, so it says the word Zav 2 times. Say it's regarding the second emission. So it says the Raisa, Limit al hazayv shutame. This teaches regarding the discharge of the Ziva itself that it contaminates, which as the Gemara tells later on, Dafnan Heim and Aleph, that this pasuk is not coming to tell us that it contaminates with touch, because it's not less than the first discharge, or even shechva zera, semen, which that contaminates by touch. Rather, it's telling us regarding the second discharge that it contaminates by being carried. Now, says the Gemara as follows. B'mai, what's this case of this brisa of the pasuk talking about? Elim b'zav greida, if it's talking about just a regular zav, that's not a mitzairah, why would I need a pasuk to say that the re'iyah shniyah, the second discharge, the droplet itself, that it contaminates with masa? Obviously, I know this. Why do I know this? Because as the Gemara continues, if lachem garm tumo, if this drop itself of this diva discharge causes the person who had this discharge to contaminate with masa, as the pasuk says in Yikatez Vav, whatever he's beneath, which as we explained in the previous daf means what's called elyon shelzav, which according to Rashi, that's this concept of masa, where whatever he's carrying, he's going to contaminate with this tumah of masa. He is a contamination of masa. So, and how does this person get this? From the discharge. The discharge causes him to have a tumah of masa. So the discharge itself, that liquid itself, isn't it going to be tumah of masa? So I know this already. So what do I need the pasuk to tell us this? Rather, it's obvious that what the pasuk is coming to include is a zav that's a mitzaira. And that is necessary because there you don't know it anymore from a kal v'chomer, because in that case, that ziva discharge did not cause the person to become tummy, because that person's already tummy because of his nega of tsaras, and that's why he's being metame other things with masa, and actually a mitzayra is metame even if he's in the same oil, even more than the ziva discharge. So there you wouldn't know this kal v'chomer. So that's where the pasuk has to tell you the second time by a zav that's a mitzayra, that the discharge will contaminate b'masa. Oh, says the Gemara, the Yitzhak Krala Rabuya Bereishniya. So from the fact that the pasuk has to include that the second discharge by a zav that's a mitzayra, that it's going to contaminate with masa, Shema Minam Makam Ziva Lav Mayinu. Obviously, that the source of the ziva discharge is not considered a spring. Because if it was a spring, then the first time already would be considered Mayonisha Mitzayra. And the first time already, it would be Matamba b'masa. Obviously, the second time too, for the fact that we're only saying the second time, obviously the first time not, because it's not considered a Mayan. So that answers the question. To which Amalei Rabbi Yehuda Mendiskar to Rava, he said to Rava, no. Mimai, what's your proof? Dil malo'ilam em l'cha b'zav greida. I can refute the whole base of what you're saying. Truth is, the pasuk is coming to include a regular zav, not a zav that's a mitzvah. Because if he would be a mitzvah, then we would not need a pasuk to include it. Because yes, even the first discharge would be tamei, because it is a Mayan, it is a spring. With the comment and this that you're saying, wait a second, how is that possible? If lachem garm tumo l'asma l'kolshkin, how do I need a pasuk to include a tum of masa for the ziva discharge for a regular zav in the second time? Of course I know that. If it makes the person have a tum of masa, of course the discharge itself, on that says, revidim deskarta, that's not a kavuchemer. Because sar hamishtalech yichiach, the halacha of the higot that sent away, what's called the sar lazazel, one of the two higots that are brought in Yom Kippur by the Kohen Gadol, one is slaughtered and the blood brought in the Kachar Kachm, the other one that's thrown off the cliff, that disproves this kal v'chomer. Because there the halacha is, shegarim tumah l'acherim, it causes tumah to others, meaning the one who sends the goat off the cliff, the pasuk says, v'hamishtalech asar, he becomes tummy. V'huat meitar, but the goat itself, it's only there when it's alive, and the live goat never contaminates because no animal contaminates when it's alive. And you see that the kavuchem is not true, and therefore you wouldn't know it from a kavuchem. And therefore the pasuk come and tell you a zav, but there's no raya that is telling you anything regarding the case of the zav that's a mitzayr. Now Amabai, he says in general, mighty boyle, what's the question in general regarding Rav Yosef regarding this first ziva discharge of a mitzayra? But vahahu de amar. Based on his own teachings, you have the answer already. He himself said, as we said, this teaching in the previous Daf, it says in the Pasuk, Zayis Teres Zav. This is the law of the Zav. Whenever it says Teres, it's a Rebo, it's inclusionary terminology, tells you Ben Gadol, Ben Katan, that whether an adult, whether a minor, they're all going to have the halachas of a tum of Ziva if they have the Ziva discharge. Now, so says Abaya, Bekivin the Nafkele Mahasam, so if he's learning it out from over there, so in other words, you don't need the other source that we brought in the previous daf of Hazav Zayvay Lazachar, which we said, oh, the extra word Lazachar, what's that coming to say? So now those who wanted to say, oh, Lazachar is coming to tell you that it applies to any male, even a minor. No, you don't need to learn out from that to be Mirabah Katan, because Rabbi Yosef holds that you learn it out from Zayis Teres Hazav, from a different pasuk. So therefore, says Abaya, so then obviously Ayatole Lazachar. So then you have the word Lazachar extra. Now, what is that coming to tell us? So we went through this discussion in the previous daf. We said, what is Lazachar coming to teach? It's either coming to teach, as one interpretation was saying, for Ben Gadol Ben Katan, or the other option is, L'rabbis Mitzayra L'mayanaisav, it's coming to teach you that the Mitzayra, that his springs are also going to be tame like Ezav, that what the context of the pasuk is talking about. It's adding a different male, a male that's a mitzayr for his springs. And the kevo, the extra word in the kevo, is rabbis mitzayres l'mayin nesel. Now, says Abaya, if so, if that's what Lazach is coming to teach you, and it's in the context of the pasuk of the Zav, so va'ak shirachman the mitzayr l'zav gamer. So the pasuk is equating the mitzayr to a bona fide Zav who already had two ziva discharges, because that pasuk that has the hekesh of mitzayr to the Zav is a pasuk that's referring to a Zav that had two discharges, because it says v'hazav ez zayvoy, which says the word ziva two times. And that's where it says lazacher, to include the mitzayr. Like what? Like a bona fide Zav, like a Zav gamer. So then you have the answer. Ma Zav gamer. If a full-fledged Zav, that his ziva discharges metamba b'masa, contaminates by being carried, saf ri'i rishayna shal mitzayr, and even the first discharge of a mitzayr, his ziva is metamba b'masa, is going to contaminate by being carried, even the first time. Because we're comparing a general mitzayr to the ziva of that's on his second time. And we know the ziva the second time is metamba b'masa, so therefore you know mitzayr on the first time already, that's going to metamba b'masa. Because if you would learn out that and use the extra word lazachar to tell you that you know a minor zav from there, and then how would you know that a male mitzayr, his mayanis are tameis? As we said in the previous daf, you would know it from learning out from the female mitzayr. Then you could have a basis question to say, okay, what's the halacha by the first discharge? Do we say that it pulls together and then it comes out and therefore it's included all the other mayanis or not? Because you wouldn't know it because you know the mitzayr from the mitzayras. And by Nekeva, they don't have this white ziva discharge to learn it out from the hekesh of that pasuk to a zav gomer to if it's not a mayan. But now that Rabbi is pointing out, Rabbi Yisim holds that obviously Lazachar is coming to tell you to learn out mitzayr l'mayanis and not that you learn from mitzayras. So it's the pasuk is equating it to a zav gomer. So then there's no more question anymore. You obviously know that the first ziva discharge will be metamba b'masa, specifically by a zav that's a mitzayr, although generally a zav is metamba b'masa only by the second discharge. So therefore he's saying, what's his question? His own opinion obligates him to say that it is metamba b'masa. Now, continuing on this idea regarding the first ziva discharge, so Amar Rav Huna says Ri'i Rishayna Shel Zav. In general, the first discharge of ziva that a person has is metama ba'inus. It creates tuma, even if it was caused by some external force. Now, the tuma that it's going to have is the tuma that it says in general regarding the first ziva discharge, which is a lesser type of a tuma than the other ziva discharges, which only contaminates through touch and is only tummy until the evening, like keri, like a seminal emission. And then it also combines for the second ziva discharge to then make the person tummy like a bona fide zav, which then he's tummy for 7 days. Now, although it says we're going to ziva discharge, the word mibisara, as we're going to shortly quote this, that has to come from his flesh, seemingly from it from internally, not externally through an einus, through forcible, that obviously is going on the second ziva discharge, which it says after that, that's what's going on. But not on the first ziva discharge. And the reason is because the pasuk equates the first ziva discharge to shechva zera. Shenema, like it says in the pasuk of Yikra, it says, Zayis teres hazav, and only says the word zav one time, so it's talking about the first ziva discharge. Vashat teitim in the shechva zera. And also the same law of this pasuk applies to someone that has a seminal emission. So the pasuk is equating the two of them. And what is it teaching us? Ma shechva zera metame ba'ainus, just like the semen that comes out, contaminates even if it's forced out. The reason is because semen is always forced out, because it's only if someone creates a situation of warming up and causing himself to emit and ejaculate the seed, that's always forced out. So that's also telling us the first ziva discharge is also if it was forced out, and unlike the other ziva discharges, which is only if it comes out by itself. However, the Gemara says, Tashma. It says, let's bring a raya regarding this halacha from Mishnah Masech Lezavim. The Mishnah says, Ra'a Ri'i Rishayna, if someone had the first ziva discharge, so baitkin I say. So they inspect him. What they inspect him is the Mishnah teaches elsewhere, with seven different ways. They check what he ate, what he drank, with jumping, did he carry, all these different things to see was it externally caused. Says the Gemara, why are you checking? My love of Tumah, isn't it coming to tell us regarding the laws of Tumah, that if it was ba'inus, that he is tar? Not like the Salah Rav Huna that said that the first time you're going to be Tumah even if it's ba'inus. Says the Gemara, Allah, no, it's la carbon. We inspect him regarding the laws of a carbon. If the first ziva discharge was ba'inus, then it's not going to combine for the number three to obligate him in the carbon, which is only when he sees three discharges. If the first one's ba'inus, that's not going to be counted towards that count. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring another right from that same Mishnah. Mishnah says, okay, Bishniya, if he has the second Ziva discharge, but can I say, again, we check him out, we inspect him. Says Gemara Lamai, what are we checking him for? Elay Malakarbon, if you tell me, oh, to see if it was Ba'inus or not, to see if he's going to count to the number three of carbon. So what are you saying? Avalatuma, but regarding the laws of Tuma that it says over there regarding the second Ziva discharge, that is a more severe Tuma, for that you tell me that loy, that we don't have to inspect him to see if it was Ba'inus or not. Is that so? Ikri kan mibisari, but here for sure you apply the pasuk that says it has to come from his flesh, but not forced out, because that terminology mibisari is going on the pasuk that talks about two ziba discharges. So elalav l'tuma. Obviously, when we're saying that we inspect him regarding the second ziba discharge, that's regarding the laws of tuma itself. If he gets that halach of zava gomer for tuma 7 days. So says the Gemara, when the Sefer L'Tumah, so from the fact that the second halacha of that Mishnah, when it's talking about the second discharge, that it says the Bedika, it means for to see if he's Tameh, so Reish and Amel L'Tumah, then it sounds like the first one that we said, that you check him, where it doesn't specify but either one, is also going to be the same thing for Tumah. So you see, not like everyone, that if it was forced, even the first time, it's not going to be Tameh. Says the Gemara, no, Midi'iri, is that a proof? Hakadisa. Each one has a separate context. The first one you're checking regarding the laws of carbon, second one you're checking for the laws also of Tumah. So the Moses Tashmat Mingarai continued from that same Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer, he says, not like the Tanakhama, he says, Af b'shlishi b'yit k'noisai m'mnehar karban. Even the third ziva discharge, again we check to see if it's ba'inus or not, because of the laws of the karban. Says the Gemara, Mechlal the Tanakhama. So the inference is that the Tanakhama, m'mnehar tumakamer. Obviously, he was saying for all his inspections that they're because of tumah. Because if it was for karban, like we tried answering that that's what the first checking was for, then he should have required also this third time being checked, because the third time has only relevancy regarding carbon. He already became Tomei by the second Ziva discharge. Rabbi Eliezer says, oh, the third time also, because carbon has to be not Ba'inus. Tanakama, who doesn't require checking the third time, obviously doesn't care about whether the carbon was Ba'inus or not. So we're back to the question. So the first time, why are you checking? Obviously for Tomei. Says, no. The kuli amal of carbon, everyone holds that the checking is for the carbon. And therefore it's not difficult on Rav Huna. The first time you're checking is not for tumah. The tumah of carry that you have from the first ziva discharge is even if it's ba'inus. Why are you checking for carbon? If you're checking for carbon, then wait, why don't they require checking the third time too to see if you're going to be obligated on carbon? That's for a different reason. Here they disagree regarding the pasuk that says, v'hazav es zayvay, lasacham nekeva, to expound that word es as an extra number. As follows. Rabbanu loy darsh esem. The Rabbanu Tanakama, they don't expound the S. Rabbi Eliezer darsh esem, he does expound the S, as the Gemara explains. Rabbanu loy darsh esem, they don't expound the words S as an extra number. So therefore, you have the following count. When it says in the pasig, hazav, that's chada, that's one. When it says zayvay, second time, that's tarti, that's two. And then when it says the next word in the pasig, la zachar, what it's coming to tell us is, up until now, this person had the halacha of a male, which is that if it came ba'inus, it's not going to make him tummy regarding being obligated in the carbon. Because it says mibisari, it has to be automatic, not through some external force. Now, but what the pasuk is saying, but from here on, b'shlishi, by the third time, then akshay rachman lekeva, then the word in the pasuk says vilan lekeva. Then it's equating this man to a female. In other words, he has the halacha of a female, that the tummy will come even ba'inus. As Gemara teaches on the next daf, Lamed Vav Mabez, where it says Ki Yazav Zayv, where no matter how it comes out, the female even Ba'in is going to be tum. So therefore, that's what we're saying over here, that regarding the third time, he says that the Chacham said that even if it comes by itself, even if it comes Ba'inus, it's still going to be chayiv in the carbon. That's why they said you don't check the third time. Because for that, really comparing to Nekeva, even though it comes Ba'inus. But Rabbi Eliezer, who he said that you have to check even the third time to see if you have a carbon, is because Darish S, and he expounds the word S, which is Hazav, that's Chada, that's one. S, that he's counting, he's Darishing the word S, is Tarti, that's a second discharge. Zayvay Tlas, that even the third time he still has the halacha like La Zachar, which is like we said in the Pasuk Mibsar, La Zachar can't be Ba'inus. So even the third time for the carbon, everyone agrees for carbon you have to check, but even the third time you have to check. Bervi, the fourth time, that's where Akshar Rechman Lekeva, that's where the Pasuk is equating the male to the female, even if it happens Ba'inus. Now, as Rashi points out, what's the relevancy on the fourth time? Not for Tuma, because it's already Tuma by the second discharge. Not for carbon, because already from the third discharge it's hypercarbon. Rather, it means to undoing the days of purification. where if let's say he stopped having discharges, and then he started counting Shevin Nikim, the seven clean days, and then he saw a fourth discharge, I mean the first in his Shevin Nikim, then even if it's Ba'anus, no matter how it was caused, it's going to be Saisis. I'm going to undo, he's going to have to start over the Shevin Nikim. But therefore, that's what the machlekes is. It's not nothing to do with Rav Huna's halacha. They all agree that for carbon, and that's what the first bedika is for. You have to have a bedika, not for the tamo, because the first time, like Rav Huna says, will be tamo even ba'inus. The machlekes is just to expound the word s as another time to see up until when do we say it cannot be ba'inus. So the Gemara says Tashmat Tzara to bring another raya. Price says Rebbe Yitzchok Kami. He says v'aloi zav b'chlal bal kari haya. Zav discharge was already included in the category of someone who has a seminal mission. As Gemara is going to explain later on, as we mentioned before, the pasuk equates ziva to shechva zera to semen. Now v'lama yatsa. So then, why was it excluded to make a whole separate parasha regarding the person who has ziva to be written by itself? If we already know the halach of shechva zera, oh, it says Rabbi Yitzchok is lahakalav lahachmalav to create actually a leniency for the ziva and to be a stringency. As he explains, lahakalav to be a leniency is actually she'in matama ba'inus, because although carry the seminal mission contaminates even if it was ba'inus, but ziva is leniency, it does not matam ba'inus. And lahakalav also to make a stringency as a continuum of days, shu'u isa mishkab umayshab, because specifically ziva, if a person has ziva, if he lays on something, sits on something, makes him to avatama, which doesn't apply if he had carry a seminal mission. So that's why it says it simply. Now that says the Gemara Emas. What ziva discharge are we talking about that he's asking, well, it was already in the category of Shech Vazah, why is it being mentioned separately? Elim Ebarishni, if we think he's talking about the second discharge, Hecha Hava B'chal Bal Keri, when was ever the ziva compared to Shech Vazah in the second discharge? El Pshita B'rishayna. Rather, obviously, he's talking about the first discharge. That was including carry, like we had the Hekesh before in the Pasuk, that we said, it says in the Pasuk, Hazav, and it says, Vashatetim in the Shech Vazera. Pasuk is equating where it says there in that Pasuk, only one time Zav, the first discharge with Shech Vazera. That's where the Pasuk equates them. So that's what he was asking regarding, oh, that was written in the category, why is it being mentioned separately? And V'ketani, what does he say? So why does it say it separately? L'hakalav, to be leaning on it, she'enem etam ba'ainis, that it has leniency, is not etam ba'ainis. Clearly not like Rav Huna, who says that the first discharge is etam ba'ainis. To which the Gemara responds and says, V'tizber, is that logical the way you're reading the Braisa? Then how do you do it the other part of a statement? L'hachmer lav, and the reason why it says it separately is to be stringent in it, she'oisim mishkav ha'meshav. Because when he has the ziva discharge, what he lays on or what he sits on becomes an avatum. The first discharge, do you think that makes mishkav meishav? Clearly not. We know that it's only the second discharge that creates mishkav meishav. Ella rather says the Gemara, it's not difficult to understand because hachakim. This is what the Brice is saying. Rabbi Yitzchok Gemi says as follows. You're right. When was ziva included in carry? By the first discharge. Now, but what he continued to say was, so then why does it go ahead? We already know Ziva is like Balkari by the first time already. So then why does it say a specific halacha regarding the second discharge? What's the difference? We already know what its tum is on the first discharge, like that of Kari. Oh, that's Lahakalav or Lahachmerlav, but that's only for Riyashniya, not Riyashniya, therefore it's not difficult in Rav Huna. The reason why we specify the separate halacha for the second discharge is to be leniency and astringency. Lahakalav Shein Mitam Ba'inis, which is actually not like the first one, like we said, Rav Huna. The second discharge is more lenient, that is not going to be tamei if it was ba'inus. Ulahachmalav, and as stringency, shu'is mishkav meishav, unlike the first discharge, unlike Shech Vazera, it's going to contaminate mishkav meishav, and therefore again, it's not difficult on Rav Huna. Now, I think we're continuing another teaching from Rav Huna on this topic. I'm Rav Huna. It says, Zayv daimam, this discharge of Zayv is comparable to the consistency of lemei betzek shel sa'ir, to the water of the dough of barley. Moreover, Zayv ba mebsar hames. This Zayv discharge comes out when the male member is so to speak, dead, is not erect. Now, shechva zera, semen, ba mebasar chai, comes from an erect, comes from what's called alive flesh. Now, moreover, it says Zayv dia. In other words, like it means like it's weak, that it's liquidy, it's not knotted together, that consistency of the Ziva discharge. And v'dayma l'loivin be'ah muzeres, it's similar, it's comparable to the white of the egg that's spoiled, meaning that it's not fermenting into a chick under the chick, it just spoiled. That's the type of liquid that is the Ziva discharge. Now, shech v'zera kashura, the semen is like knotted, meaning it's more congealed, and it's like the white of an egg that's not spoiled. That's the differences. Although they're both coming out of the male membrane, they both create tumas. They're different types of liquids. Now, the Mishnah said, "Dam hayaled de shaloi tavla b'chulu." We had another machlekes in our Mishnah between Misham and Mesil regarding the blood of a woman who gave birth, who already passed her days of tumas. She already finished this day 7 of the zachar or day 14 of the kibbutz, but she didn't go to the mikveh yet. So the machlekes was regarding what's going to be the status of that blood. Is it going to be like Beishami said, only if it's moist is it going to be tummy, but not yavish? Or is it going to be like Beisil, even if it's dry, it's going to be tummy? So Tanya Lenin Bryce said, elaborates on this machlekes. Amalen Beisil Beishami. Beisil said to Beishami as follows. Yata moidim, don't you agree, Benida, regarding a menstruating woman, not your ledis, a menstruating woman. Shalai tavla, if she didn't immerse herself in the mikveh after her 7 days of nida. Veras adam, if she sees blood, she tameya, that that blood's going to be tummy? So therefore say this anybody ledis, that it should have a bona fide law of tumma, which all blood that's biblically tummy is tummy even if it's yavish. To which Amalehem Beishami said to himself, Loi, no, that's not a comparison. If you're right, what you're trying to say by Nida, by menstruating woman, that, yeah, that the blood's going to be tummy, because Shafila Tavla, regarding the Nida, even if let's say she did immerse, Verasa, and then she sees a Ri of Dam, Tameya, that blood's going to be tummy, even if she went to the mikveh. So therefore, yeah, when she doesn't go to the mikveh, and then she has a Ria, so then, yeah, the blood's going to be tummy, even when it's yavish. But says Beishamay, tummy be alleged, what are you comparing to the woman who gave birth? Shim tavla varasa, if she would immerse herself in the mikveh. After her 14 days, 7 days, with boy or girl, and then varasa, she sees Riyav Dam, she tyra. That blood is tar, because she's now in her meyatara. So what are you proving to me? So what I'm saying is that even here, when she didn't immerse herself in the mikveh, although she's tummy, but the blood is not biblically tummy. So it's only, like we said, rabbinically, it's going to have a tumma of lach, but it's not going to be tummy when it's yavish. So Amalehem Sabisil said a different proof. Said, you're right, okay, you led this b'zayv tichich. A woman who gave birth in the state of diva, ziva, should prove my opinion. Why? Shim tavla, because if such a woman immerses herself in the mikvah, v'rasa l'achi me'svira, and then she has a ri of dam, after she counts shiv and nikiyim, besides the days of tumah that she had for childbirth, after that, she immerses and then she goes ahead and she has Riyav Dam after her Yemei Sefira. So Tahara, she's going to be Tahara because that's pure blood. She's in her days of Tahara. And if Loi Tavla, but still the halacha is, if she does not immerse herself, this woman who's the Yeledis, she passed her days of Tameim of Leida, but she didn't immerse herself yet. V'drasa, and then she has Riyav Dam, the halacha is going to be Tameya. So therefore say the same thing over here regarding a regular yeledis. So which Amalehem, Beishami say to Beisil, no, hu hadin v'hi hatshuva. Exactly what I just said to you before, I'm saying to you over here too. In other words, just like I said by a regular woman that gave birth, that if she did not immerse herself in the mikveh and she has a riyah, that yeah, I hold as Gemara is going to shortly clarify a little bit more the opinion of Beishami, once the days are done, so then the dam is tar. She's not because she didn't immerse, but the blood is tar. So too, if a woman gave birth in the state of Ziva, if she already bypassed the days of Tumas Leda, and she already counted 7 clean days, even if she didn't immerse herself, and she has Riyah, yeah, the blood's going to be tar. She's going to be tummy, but the blood's going to be tar, and therefore you're not proving to me anything from the case if you let this resolve. To which on this, the Gemara asks, Lamemer de Plegi, is that really to say that, as we just explained, the Beishami dispute Beisil in the case that they just tried bringing their Raya from? But what's none? But this is the end of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Umaydim, that Beishami agree. Be led this bizarre when the woman gave birth in the state of Ziva, she metamalach v'yavish. That Beishami agree that it is biblically tame, that it's going to be metame moist and dry. So how are we quoting him as saying that he refutes that halacha? So the Gemara is not difficult because they're different cases. The Braisa Khan is talking about Shesifra, that she counted Shiv Nikim. So therefore, Beishami said, I disagree. Shiv Nikim, she counted, she already passed the day, Thomas Leda, and she counted Shiv Nikim, and then she has Riyav Dam. So then, yeah, the Dam would be tar, even though she's tam, because she didn't immerse herself in the mikvah. Khan, Allah of our Mishnah, we said, Beishami, agree that it is going to be tameh, is when only the days of Leda have passed, but Shalai Safra. But yet she didn't count yet after them Shiv Nikim. And that's what we're saying. That even though Beishami said in the Mishnah, that by a regular yeledes, that then her halacha of her dam is going to be kareka kamei regleha, that's only going to be tummy when it's moist and not when it's dry. That's what our Mishnah said, but he agrees, but yeledes bezaiv, if she didn't count her shiv nikiyim yet, oh, as long as she didn't count her shiv nikiyim, so then she's considered a bona fide zava, and then if she has a riyah, that's not like her urine in her spittle, because reik is only with tummy when it's moist, not when it's dry, as the Gemara says later on, from chiyarek, that's to be like the rikika, which is only when it's moist. But her blood, that's going to be tummy, moist and dry, like the other, like regular halachas of dam, like by dam nidah, as the Gemara says later on, Davnan Dalad, that's where Beis Shammai is going to agree because she didn't come to Shem Nakim. Oh, she's like a regular Zava. Nothing to do with the laws of Yeladis. Zava, yeah, then the blood's going to be tummy, like all tama of Ziva. And so too says the Gemara of Atanya. And like what we just answered is actually what we learned in the Braisa. The Braisa says this case. Yeledis bezaiv, if a woman gave birth in the state of Ziva, shesafra v'leitav v'rasa, if she counted the Shivnikim, which is how we explained the case of the Braisa, not like the Mishnah. She counted the Shivnikim, but she just did the mirsas of the mikvah v'rasa, and then she has Riyav Dam. So says the Braisa, holcha b'shamay l'chitasa, and so b'shamay go according to their opinion, that is just like they say by a regular woman who gave birth, that if she already passed her days of Tumah, 7 or 14, that then the blood's going to be tahar, because they hold, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, that it's totally contingent on days and not immersing in the mikvah. So here also, the days have passed, and then b'shamay say, and she did Shivnikim, so the blood, yeah, it's going to be tahar. Basil, the Shaitasan. Basil goes according to their opinion that they hold that no, it's contingent on days and immersion in the mikveh. Only then did we say that it's considered tar. Oh, since she didn't immerse herself in the mikveh, so then her blood's going to be tummy like the tummy of Leda, which is an avatama. So therefore, that's the answer that we had from the question on the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is talking about that she didn't count Shib and the Kim, and that's what Bisham agreed. Now, related to this topic, which actually will relate back to the same halach of our Mishnah, Itma, we learned as follows. Regarding this dam haleda, the blood that a woman has when she gives birth throughout that period. So Rav Amar Mayin Echadu. Rav says that it's one spring. It's one source in the body. The blood that comes during her times after having given birth, and which is tummy, and the dam that's afterwards in those remaining 66 days or 33 days respectively of a girl or boy, that we say it's tar, it's all coming from the same place in the body. It's just as Hatayra Tamas. It's exerts a custom. The Torah said for the first 7 days when there's a boy, or the first 14 days of a girl, then it's Tame. Vatar, Tarate. And then subsequently, the Torah says, well, then it's Tar. But it's all coming from the same place in the woman's body. Now, Velevi Yama, he disagrees. He says, no, Shnei Mayan the same. There are two different springs in the body. So although we see it coming out from the same place, he says it's two different sources. Nistam HaTame, what happens is that after 2 weeks, the Tame source closes up, and Niftach HaTar, the tar source opens up. And Nistam HaTar, after day 80, then the tar source closes up, and Niftach HaTame, then the tummy source opens up. And therefore, from that point on, she's going to be tummy when she has a Riyav Dam. Says Gemara Ma'abedan, what's the difference between them if it's one source and the tar is Exeis HaKasiv, or if it's two different sources, and therefore it's dependent on her physiology, what's the difference? Says Gemara Ikebenei, the difference is Sheifas Mitech Shiva L'Achashiva. The difference is if she goes a straight flow, which obviously is coming from the same place, from within the 7 days until after the 7 days, and similarly, umetech arba'as alach arba'asa by a girl, when it's going from within the 14 days till after the 14 days, or the inverse. Umetech arba'am alach arba'am. If it's going from within the day 40 till after the day 40, which is from the days of Tara for the boy and the after, umetech shemayim alach shemayim, or from within day 80 till after day 80, but it's coming from the same place, obviously, because it's a flow. Oh, so that comes out as follows. L'Rav, according to Rav, the ratio, the first two cases, when the woman is flowing from her days of Tumah into the days of Tahara, it's Lakula, it's a leniency, and the woman's going to be Tar, even though it didn't stop, it's coming from the same place, but still, Rav says it always comes from the same place, and the Torah says it's Tar once you get to that day. Now, but the Seifa, the second two cases, when she's flowing from within day 40 to after day 40, and from within day 80 to after day 80, well, that's Lachumah, that's going to be a stringency, because now it's going to be Tumah after day 80, even though it's coming from the Tar. What was Tara a day ago? Because the Tara says it's Tame. It's always coming from the same place. Now, Levi, Reish Lachumah. But according to Levi, it's the opposite. The Reish is going to be a stringency because since he didn't stop having a flow, obviously that Tame source didn't close up yet. So although she's now in, quote, the Yumei Tara, but it's still coming from the old Tame source. Now, the Seifa Lakula. The Seifa is going to be a leniency because since she didn't stop having the flow, so obviously the Tara source didn't close up yet. So therefore, even after day 80, she's still going to be tar. That's the ramification of the Smachlegas, Rav, and Levi. Now the Gemara has Meisvi, the Gemara has on Levi from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Dam ha-yeledesh shleitav, this case that we were just discussing from our Mishnah. The blood of a woman who gave birth, who although she passed her day 7, day 14, but shleitav, she didn't immerse herself in the mikveh yet. So we have Machlegas. Beshamerim, they say, kareku kamim raglau. They essentially say, biblically, it's not Tami, because then the Reisel would be Mitami when it's Yavish. Bishami say, it's going to be Tami only when it's moist, like the spittle and like her urine. Well, Bishami, they say, no, Mitami lach v'yavish, it's going to be Tami even when it's moist and even when it's dry. So says the Gemara, Kasalka Daitech the Pasuk. We assume that the case of our Mishnah was talking about that she stopped having a flow of blood for a day or two after the 2 weeks of her Tumah of Leda of having given birth to a girl. And that's where we have the Machlekes, Rav and Shmuel. So says the Gemara, that's where we have the Machlekes, Beisham Beisal. So says the Gemara, Bishlam al-Rab, Dama Mayan Echad, according to Rab, that says that it's all one spring, it's all one source in the body. So Mishnah Machim, Itam Alach V'Yavish. Therefore, we could understand why Beisal says that this woman's going to be tummy now when it's moist and dry, because it's all coming from the same source. It's coming from the Mayan tummy. And but didn't she stop? Yeah, but the Torah, according to Beisal, doesn't hold that she's tar, as we're going to shortly explain this, unless she has days and tevila. So if she didn't do tevila yet, so therefore this is still coming from the same source. So even though she stopped, okay, until this tevila, you're going to have that same tummy from the source. And therefore, it's going to be a regular tumah, like we have by Thomas Leida, which is the dam is going to be tumah like by dam nida when it's moist and when it's dry. But at a lebi damishne mayonis, and according to lebi, it says it's two different sources in the body, two different pipes. So then, amay metamah lach v'yavish. Then why is this woman's blood going to be tumah when it's moist and when it's dry? But we're already, let's say, by day 16, and she stopped for a few days. So that means to say that tummy source already stopped. So this blood that's coming out, so what is it? So she didn't immerse herself in the mikvah, fine, but it's not coming out from that old mayan. It's from a new mayan, from a new source. So why is it contaminating like the laws of tummy blood? It's not tummy blood. So Machalevi would tell you, no, what we're talking about, not the way we assume, we're talking about b'shefas, we're talking about a woman with that, when she's after the days of Leda, of she's ready by day 17, but she was still flowing from the days of Tumah to the days of Tara, and therefore she never stopped. She never stopped. So then that's why Bissel says it's going to be Tumah, like before day 14, where it's Tumah, Lach V'Yavash. So then the Gemara asks, then the opposite, so Ibn B'Shefas, then if it's flowing, so my Tumah the B'Shami. So why B'Shami say that it's Tar? What do you mean? It has the Tumah of the flow. It's coming from what we had before. Says the Gemara, Ksavi B'Shami Mayin Echaru. Levi agrees, although he said there's two different pipes. But if it was constantly flowing, then obviously it's coming from the first pipe. But Shami hold like Rav, it's one pipe. So why is it tar in the maze of tar? Oh, it's Xeris HaKasev to purify it. So even though it's flowing, it's Xeris HaKasev. So therefore, it's going to be tar, and therefore it's only the rabbinic tumah of like when it's moist. But the biblical tumah of Yavish. Therefore, that's why he disagrees. So now the Gemara continues asking and goes the other way now. And says, Bishlam el Levi, we understand according to Levi that he says that according to Basil, it's considered two mayanis, it's two springs, two different sources in the body. So hayne deka bin Bisham Basil. So we understand what's the difference between these two opinions in the Mishnah. According to Basil, that says it's two different sources. So since, like he explains the case of the Mishnah, that Shefas is constantly flowing, since it didn't stop, so it's just going to be tummy, because the tummy pipes didn't close up yet. According to Bishami, that holds that Levi agrees that it's going to be considered that it's one mayan. So the Torah says, okay, even though it's one mayan, but after 2 weeks it becomes tar. So that's what we understand. That's their machlekes in the Mishnah. But Elul Rav, according to Rav, that he says that it's always according to everyone, even according to Basil, it's considered one mayan. So if Basil is like him, so my benayu, then what's the difference between Bisham and Basil? In other words, regarding what are they disagreeing about? Why? What's the reason Basil that they say it's going to be tummy? If seemingly if it's one mayan, then it should be like Bishami, that even if it's flowing, it should still be tar when it's already past day 14, because that's Xeris HaKasev. So the Gemara, like we've been mentioning this all along, it could be nayu yomeyu tefila. The difference between Bisham Bisil is days and immersions. You're right. According to Rav, it doesn't make a difference if she stopped or if it was flowing, but the difference is as long as she doesn't immerse, we're going to say that the blood's going to be tamei in her post-childbirth days, which is, the Bishami Savri B'yemitol Echmona. Bishami says, no, it's contingent on days. Once the days are over, even though she didn't immerse, so she's tummy, but the blood is coming out, the thing is because of that it's tar. Or Beisil Savri B'yemitol Echmona. Beisil says, no, it's not just days and immersions. If she doesn't immerse, she's still like pre-day 14, which it's going to be like the tumah of Yeledis, where she's going to have the dam being tummy, both not only Balach, but even when it's Yavash. So the Gemara continues as Toshima. The Gemara continues asking on Levi from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah concluded, Umaydim Yeledis Bezev. As we mentioned this halacha before, Bishami agree that although he disagrees by regular Yeledis, but if a woman gave birth and also in a state of Ziva that she was a Zava Gedaila, she metam alach v'yavish. And then it's going to be metami not only when it's moist, like he says by regular Yeledis, but it's only going to be metami when it's dry. Now, we had explained that previously when we had this contradiction with the Braisa and our Mishnah, we explained that it's talking about she already passed her days of birth, but she didn't yet count Shiva Nekiyim. That's the case where Bishami agrees. Now, Sogadai de Chachaname de Pascha. So the assumption of the Gemara is initially is that after 2 weeks, she's had a stop of blood. She didn't flow in directly. Now, so therefore, the reason why it's going to be Tummy is because it's coming from the pipes of Tumma. Because the Torah didn't purify the woman when she had it, or you led this Bezoib, until she said Shib Nikim. So she's like a bona fide Zava. So therefore, it's going to be Metame, Lach, and Yavash. But says the Gemara, Bishlem l'Rav, Domamai Necheru, according to Rav, that he says that it's one source of pipes. So Mishamachim, Metame, Lach, V'Yavash. So we can understand why the Tumma is going to be whether it's moist, I mean, and this is going according to everyone, that Maidim is everyone, Bishami Basil, why it's going to be Tame when it's moist and when it's dry, because the halacha is that we have the Yiladis Bezaib, so she's a bona fide Zava. So even though she stopped, but it's Mayan Echad, and she never cleaned up yet by having Shem Nikim from the original source. So the blood that comes out is going to have the Tame Lach V'Yavish. And the Levi, the Mishnei Mayanasim, according to Levi that he says it's two different pipes. So then why is it contaminating when it's moist and when it's dry? But according to him, that's two different pipes. So then it comes out that now when she's post day 14, where's the blood coming from? We stop. We're assuming that the case is that she stopped. Where's it coming from? From a different pipe, a different source of the spring, where it's a source of Tahara. So the blood that's coming out is like the blood like when she gets a bang and she starts bleeding, or like her spit, which the Tumah that's going to be, yes, she's a Zava. But a Zava's liquids, besides the Dam of Tumah of the Tumah source, whether like a menstruating woman or like Dam of Yoledis, which is a different pipe, that's going to be Tumah Yavish. But here, it's just like other liquids in our body, which only contaminate when it's moist, because of like the Mayonis Hazav, but it shouldn't contaminate when it's dry. Why are we saying that in the opinion of Basil, there's going to be Tumah Lach V'Yavish? So Malach, he would tell you, no, that Levi would say that this case is also talking about that it's a constant flow. Oh, it's a constant flow, so it's coming from the tummy source. That's why it didn't close up yet. That's why it's going to be Tamalach V'yamash. So that says the Gemara, Yibishafas, Lama Yitzchuk. If it's talking about that flowing, so what's necessary? Obviously, that's going to be the halacha. What's this that everyone's agreeing in this case? What do you mean? This is coming from the tummy source. Says the Gemara, no, Lebishame Yitzchuk. It was necessary to tell us that Bishame agrees in this case. Why? Avagav dekami Bishami Mayin Echeru, even Levi had said this. Even though Bishami says it's one pipe, one source, you're right. For Basil, we know that because it's talking about Shafas, even though it's two different types, but it's Shafas. But according to Bishami, that says that it's one source, and he says that it's going to be by a regular Yeledis, he says that it's okay, after her days of Leda, he says over there that it's going to be Tar, that we need to say over here that. And because it's one pipe, obviously regularly led this, so what makes her tar on day 15 is Gzeis HaKasa. And the reason is, like we said, because of B'yemi Tal Rechmona, because it's totally dependent on just days. Oh, that's why I have to tell you that B'yeledis B'zayiv, that it's going to be Tameh. Because Han immediately, when did we say that the Dam is Tahar after she just passes the days of Leda? That's B'yeledis Gredasa, that's by a regular woman who gave birth. The Shlimi L'Huyami, like we said, the days finish it off. Aviyaladis bazai, but when a woman gave birth in the state of Ziva, where there's another ingredient over here, the bay is Svira, where you need to have a counting of Shiva Nikim. As long as she doesn't count 7 clean days, then her blood is like the blood of a Zava, of a Ziva, where that's coming from one source. Why does it come from one source? Aren't we done with those days? Well, Bishami holds it always comes from the same source. So what happens is that the Gzeis HaKasav. But here the Gzeis HaKasav did not purify the Ziva until she counts Shiv Nikim, like the Pasuk says, Va'achatitar. Only after you have 7 clean days are you done with that Tumah. Oh, so that's where Loi, that's where Beis Shammai is agreeing that she's not going to be Tar, when even when it's Yavish, it's going to be Tumah. That's the Chiddush of the Nesar, according to Levi, for this end of our Mishnah, for that last case. So Gemara says, Tashma, the Gemara continues asking from the following Brisa, not like Levi. The Pasuk says, in Vayikra, and Parakut Beis Pasuk Beis, it says, speak to the Jewish people and say that Isha Ki Sazriya V'Yalda Zachav, a woman is going to be Mazriya, have seed, and she's going to give birth to a boy. But Tamash V'Syamem, she's going to be Tamim for 7 days, Kimei Nidas, like the Nida, of Devaisa Titma, of the illness when she becomes Tame. Now, these last two words, Devaisa Titma, are seemingly superfluous, because the Pasuk could have said, yeah, we wanted to say that when she gives birth to a boy, she's tummy 7 days like a nida. It could have just said that she's v'tama shivas yamim, kimei nida, she's tummy 7 days like the days of a nida, and then stopped. Why does it say these words, devaisa titma? Says the Braisa, it's l'rabbis. It's coming to include a few different things. It's coming to include that this yeledis, this woman who we're talking about who gave birth, that she's metame es bayala, just like a nida who has relations with a man. She makes the man have hartama. So the woman gave birth, who also has that same amount of time, is also going to make the man who has relations with her have that tama. Moreover, when it says these words, devaisa titma, l'rabbis halelis is coming to include that the tama is for nighttime just as in daytime. Because although the pasuk says yamim, we say that the halacha is also going to be tummy in night times. Moreover, devaisa titma is l'rabbis hayeledes bezoiv. It's coming to include a woman that gave birth in the state of ziva. What's it teaching us? Shetzricha shetesha v'shevi yom nekim, that she has to sit and also have 7 clean days. That's what the extra word devaisa titma is coming to say. So says the Gemara, Bishlam l'rab dama mayanachad, according to Rab that says that it's one source. So mishem hachi baya, that's why we see from this braisa, from the extra words in the pasuk, that you need to have an interruption of Shiva Yom Nikim, of having 7 clean days. Why? Because since it's one piping, so it's coming from the source of Tamei blood, and the Torah doesn't purify the woman until she counts 7 clean days, like we're learning off in the passage where it says Devaisa Titma. Now, however, the Gemara continues to have a Lamed Vamanal, according to Levi, this is 2 different pipes. Lamli Shiva. Why do you need Shiva Nikim, 7 clean days? But Mashu Sagi. Should be enough for just stopping for a moment. Why? If after 2 weeks she stops for a moment, what happens, according to Lady? Oh, the tummy piping stopped, and then the tar one opens up now. So now she could wait 7 days and immerse herself, even if all those 7 days she was seeing blood, it should be counted as Nikiyim, because according to Lady, it's not Dam Tummy. Because although we only purify after Shem Nikim, but it's different piping. According to Rav, that's one piping. So, okay, so it's always Gzeis HaKasas. You have to have Shem Nikim. But here, it is Nikim according to Levi. So why do you have to wait 7 days that's clean? You should just have to wait a little bit and then continue blood. So Zigmar, you're right. According to him, this is what the Braisa is saying. Tzricha Shetavzik Mashu. After the 2 weeks of having given birth to a girl, you have to stop a little bit, because Rashi points out, stopping in the middle of 2 weeks, that won't be considered an interruption at all anyway, because once she sees another time within the 2 weeks, that's obviously that the tummy piping has opened up. As the Torah tells us, within the 2 weeks, the tummy piping is what's working. And after the 2 weeks, when she stops a little bit, then she yalla lola shiv nikim. Then yeah, even if she's flowing blood all those 7 days, that will count for, quote, shiv nikim. Of course, according to Levi, it's coming from a different source, and that is, quote, clean days, because it's not tummy blood. You're right, according to Levi, that's what it means. It doesn't require 7 clean days. It requires a moment of cleanliness, and then she can count Shem Nikim, even during when she's seeing blood, because it's in the Yemei Tara, according to Levi, that's considered Shtei Mayonis.